Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Born April 6th in San Fernando, California, he is, without question, one of the most legendary drag racers in the history of the sport. In his 35-year career as a driver, he won four NHRA championships. He was the first funny car driver to break the 250-mile-per-hour mark. And he carried on a rivalry with Tom the Mongoose McEwen that saw them bring the sport of drag racing into the mainstream with their own Hot Wheels cars. Please welcome, drag racing legend, Don the Snake Prudhomme.
Don, how have you been, man?
Hey, cool, Johnny. How you doing, buddy?
Buddy, I'm glad to have you here, man. We were close to each other up in Sturgis. You were hanging out with my friend, Mr. Boyer.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, you're in Sturgis. I mean, there's thousands of Harleys there, you know, and we were camped out at a place called Spearfish with Boyer and Rusty Wallace and a bunch of those outlaws from NASCAR, and we had a hell of a good time.
I heard Miss Palin showed up once, Sarah Palin. Did she get rowdy?
Oh, let me tell you, man. She's really, really cool. I was blown away. Earl Mann's his name's Todd. He's a good guy, too. But let me tell you what, she's easy on the eyes. I can tell you that.
Right. I know. I may not be politically aligned with her, but you're right. She's super hot.
Yeah, you get her a pair of jeans and one of them Harley shirts on, buddy. And pretty nice. Pretty nice. I'd vote for her all over again if I had to do it. If you know what I mean.
I'm with you. I'm with you, my friend. You are. Well, I'll tell you who really came back to me, and he was so enthralled with spending time with you, was Clint Boyer. He goes, you don't understand. He goes, all I want to do is sit next to him and listen to him tell stories about racing and the world and what was happening.
Oh, he's so full of it, man. He's got some stories of his own. He's a good boy now, you know what I mean? Married and kids and everything, but in his wild days, when I first met him, he was a piece of work. One of the best times I ever spent with him. I mean, I had a hell of a time with him at Sturgis and stuff, but we all went fishing up in Canada, and he had a buddy. How's this for a buddy? He had along with him, Blake Shelton.
Uh-huh.
And we were all up there fishing, and that evening they put a bottle of Jack Daniels and some beer in front of all of us. And Blake, he started... broke out a guitar and started singing, and I called my wife at home, and she did a double backflip, man, knowing that Blake Shelton was there singing with and having a hell of a time with us. So that was a good time with Boyer. That one was hard to beat.
That's tell me this, you know, because I was just at the Evel Knievel Museum in Topeka, and we got to run with him a little bit. Did you guys, you're all in the same era. Did you cross paths and spend any time?
With Evel?
Yeah.
Knievel? Oh, heck yeah, you know. That was in the days of the Snake and Mongoose Hot Wheel sets. And,
yeah.
You know, the early 70s, and Knievel was on a roll, and he was, matter of fact, we had the same agent, and he's everything what they say he was, too. You know, he was a wild man. We were a little conservative, you know. We were a little younger than him, but he was wide open, you know. And he says just like in the movies.
Yeah, he really was. We got to sit with him a few times, and he'd give you that look at first just to let you know he doesn't suffer a fool, and then he'd talk to you for a while, and if you were understanding and you were in the same place, and he'd relax a little bit. But he was truly the guy who did not suffer an a-hole.
Yeah. He was just one of those, I don't know, he's a mixer between Elvis and God only knows what, you know. He's just quite an entertainer, but We had the same agent, the Mongoose, and myself with him in the early 70s, and, you know, he was bigger than life, and he went out in a blaze of glory, though. You know, he rode that bottle of Jack Daniels pretty hard too. You know.
Oh sure. Oh yeah. No, I spoke to him at the end, and it was he was pretty right. He was pretty ready to go. He called me on my birthday, and then he informed me he was going to die, which I didn't really believe. And sure enough, he passed away 3 months later.
Yeah, yeah, I was shocked. I saw him right towards the end there, too. He was in his bus, you know, and he looked bad. But, you know, for all kids out there, you know, all that stuff's fun and everything, man, but you got to take care of yourself. You know, you got to push that booze away. And, you know, if you want to race and you want to make something out of yourself, you know, that's a short lifespan if you want to go down that road.
That's a fact. You guys did your share in the 70s. It was you guys were bigger than life. I mean, you talk about, you know, Big Daddy Don Garlitch, you know, and Don the Snake Perdomo. I mean, those were names that meant one thing: fast, loud, and you just knew it was, they were better. And when I was a kid, in my head, you were always a taller, stronger, bigger person than anybody else who would have been in the room. That's how you just knew if you met the guy, that's how it would be.
That's cool. No, well, you know, man, we were struggling just for survival, you know? I mean, we weren't thinking about drinking and hitting a bottle and stuff like that. I mean, we had some beers, you know, but, man, you had to be sharp. You know, you go up there and race Big Daddy or Shirley or somebody like that, you had to be sharp and be on top of it. And you know, you could get killed real easy back in those days, real easy. I lost a lot of friends back then, man. So, you know, to make it, so just like the Cup, you know, NASCAR, the guys, you know, things have changed today. Today, hell, you can walk away from one of them badass accidents pretty, I'm not saying easy, but, you know, it's a hell of a lot safer than it used to be.
Well, of course. Well, listen, you didn't know what track, well, you knew what track you were going to, but you didn't know what condition it was going to be in. You know, the cages you were in, in no way are the cages that we see today. The engines were in the front at first, and that's a terrible idea.
What made our era is that we had those front engine dragsters. Those were the badasses, the most badass car ever drove with the front engine top field dragster. But the cool part is we're able to do like the sprint car guys do, World Outlaws guys do. We went from track to track to track. And so we raced and performed in front of people. And even today, I get people coming up and they say, hey, man, I saw you race in Georgia. I saw you race in Connecticut someplace. I saw you, you know, I was there. I helped you pack your parachute. See, those are the days, those are things that people remember. And in today's world, you know, you can't get near the pit area or a race car. But back then, you'd go up there and put your hands right on and say hi to Big Daddy or my snake or mongoose or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's you guys in the day, you're right. It was much more traveling, you know, racing gypsies. I knew a couple of the guys that owned KCIR, man. And some of the stories that Jeff Martin would tell me about KCIR were unbelievable. Just the names that came through there and the moments that happened and the way they had to get the show on. Because sometimes it wasn't about the race as much as everybody in that organization knew. Regardless, you might have to help another team because the show has to happen.
Yeah, well, they pay you to come in to race, in the batch race. And if a guy can't race you, well, you know, the track operator don't want to pay you, you know. So you had to help your other buddy with the tires or need some fuel or whatever he needs to put the show on. Because it was about the show. It was about, in today's, it's about championships. But equally as important as that people remember when you put on a good show, just like that race at Charlotte, man. You got to tell me that was probably one of the best races you've ever seen. It was the best one I ever seen.
Absolutely.
Turned that place into a road course. It really took NASCAR back to, I'm not saying figure eight racing, but it took it back to the old days. And I think that was a huge hit.
I think you're right.
I just wish my boy Larson would have won it. And of course, Boyer would have put the icing on the cake.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I, you know, Boyer is very...
Wasn't that a badass, right?
Yes, it was. And you're right. That is exactly what they need to get back to, because I think they've tried to clean it up too much. I think they need to remember what it was about, which was a bunch of bootleggers.
Right.
And I want to see the rivalries again, and I want to see, you know, I want to see people really race. And I don't know why. Something makes money, those people become moneyed, and suddenly they get separate from the very thing that brought them to the dance. And I don't know why that always seems to happen.
Yeah, I think they just get, you know, you get tired of it. It's a new generation, you know, and you're trying to teach this new generation about NASCAR and so on. And we have some, the same struggles in drag racing, you know. You're always struggling for that new generation to come into the sport. But if NASCAR keeps doing things like they did over the weekend, I just think that was the best show ever. And,
yeah.
I think it shocked them. It was a ballsy move doing that.
I think so, too.
I think even the racers had a good time.
Well, no, they were all looking forward to it because it really equalized everybody. No, you know, nobody really knew how to set their cars up. Yeah. Nobody had real practice on it. So here we are, guys. Let's go find out. And I think Bowyer came in saying, you know, realizing he has more experience overall than a bunch of the young guys. And I think it served him well.
Totally. Clint, absolutely. Yeah, you get him on a road course. Yeah, he'll spank you. Yeah, he's really good.
So you like most of these young kids? If you just joined the show, the great, the legend, Don the Snake Perdome, you like these young guys? I always wonder, sometimes I look at some and I go, you look like a bit of a frat boy. I don't know if I care for you. But then I meet a guy like Bowyer and I like him a lot, you know, because he's one of us. He's a real guy.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, Clint's personality and who he is and so on. I mean, you know, I'd say he didn't want all the races in the world. You know, it'd be nice if he won some more races, but his personality is great. But, you know, my buddy Chip Ganassi, he's got Larson pretty big on him and Jimmy Johnson, of course.
Sure.
Gordon and I are good buddies. Most of my buddies are in NASCAR. They're not in drag racing. I can tell you that. Jerry, this guy's so hardly talk to me, you know, because I compete against him all the years. But my buddies are in NASCAR, and I like hanging with those guys. And Tony Stewart is an awesome dude. I was with him when he got hurt. We were out on a four-wheelers, and he went over this bump and tore his back up, and he was out of cup for a while. But I was with him hanging out with that group.
I think it's pretty amazing if people don't know, but the film that you guys had put out, was it in 13? When did the movie come out, Snake and Mongoose?
Snake and Mongoose, yeah, it was in 13. Yeah, 13, yeah, Snake and the Mongoose movie. Yeah, I really liked it, you know. It was a low-budget movie, you know, for those who have seen. I mean, it is no secret it was a low-budget movie, but I think it had a great, great, great story. And unfortunately,
yeah.
I just lost Tom McEwen, just died here a few months ago, so, you know, we're still dealing with that, but at least the story of his life was told, and he was able to sit there in front of the big TV screen or movie screen and watch the story of his life, and he was pretty proud of that movie.
Good. I'm glad, man. I wish they'd make a lot more of those. I love that Back to Evil Knievel, the Being Evil documentary was pretty fantastic and made me love it even more. And I'll tell you, before I let you go, also, Larry, Mr. Dixon is so good, Larry, with people. I met him so many years ago, and when I was just starting out, and he was so kind to me. I was just trying to figure out how to do interviews and talk to guys, and I was into racing myself, and to all these years, every time I speak to him, he's one of the greatest guys in the business.
Well, that's good. Well, that's what they need to be, you know. You know, we've got kids like J.R. Todd out there, and personalities mean a lot, you know. Leah Pritchett, I think the world of her. She started with nothing, and she's a girl, man. She worked her ass off to get to where she's at, and you know. So I like those people. I like them real well. It's a different generation, but they certainly worked hard. They you know, nowadays they don't jump out of the car and tune it anymore like Garland and I used to do. You know,
right.
Nowadays they got computers and so on, and they have to have the crew chiefs to make them go fast. And I like the days when Garland and I had to look at each other in the face and say, I'm going to kick your ass. And you go back to the car and you know just what to put in and go out there and beat them, you know. So it had more to do with the driver, you know.
Did you ever have any good rivalries? Like, you know, I saw, you know, we've all seen Bowyer jump out and go after Gordon a couple times. You ever hop out of the car and have to go over and straighten somebody out?
Well, I'll tell you what, I just chewed Don Garlitz's ass out the other day on the telephone over a deal we had. So
that's sort of the same.
And you can call and ask him. He got off the phone, he had a red ass. And, that's the way I planned it.
I couldn't love you
True
more.
Story.
I want you to adopt me, Don.
True story.
Oh, you are the
Hi,
best.
Hi, guys.
All right, listen, you wear your legend well. It's great to talk to you. I thank you for calling the show today. And everybody go check out his website. And hopefully we'll catch up somewhere in Kansas City here.
Yeah. Check me out on Twitter, man. Check me out on Twitter.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it.
Bye. I'm good to see. See, those are the guys I get. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand him. He was, you know, somewhere along the line, there's another personality I met that you go, oh, that's your great uncle. That's somebody you knew. That's somebody that used to live on your street. Somebody who knew somebody. But that guy who was tougher, stronger, smarter, better, more focused, and could do certain things that other people couldn't do. And you're just drawn to him, man.
Well, it's a great generation of, it just reminds me of my dad, like in a day where you didn't lean on somebody else. Like, he talks about him and Garlitz going at each other.
Yeah.
And you get out of the car and you're like, here's what I'm going to do to change. And, you know, that guy's working on his stuff. You're working on your stuff. And I know it's a different world now. And we got crews and everybody.
But even the bigger picture of what we're talking about, the show, they knew the sport was a fledgling and it was trying to grow. So you have to have a show. If he's missing tires, there ain't no run.
Yeah.
Get him some goddamn tires. Like, but they knew it was more important. The show itself, no matter who won, is secondary. The show has to happen because that's how you build the sport.
Yeah. Put on the spectacle so you can bring people in.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I remember that like yesterday, just, you know, Mongoose and Don the Snake and just everything that went along with it. Garlitz and Shirley Muldowney.
And then they were smart enough
I still hate Connie Coletta. After I saw Heart Like a Wheel.
Yeah, the movie, it did not help.
No, you ever seen the movie Heart Like a Wheel? Mm-hmm. You're not cool. At all.
I feel like I'm at a campfire, but I'm hearing fantastic stories.
I'm telling you, you will love it just because of who you are and your personality. Mm-hmm. Find Heart Like a Wheel.
Okay.
It's a story of Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney. And she, Connie Coletta is her husband. And she gets really good, and it blows him up apart because she can beat him. And he's a dick.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Connie.
Wow.
Does it suck to have a lady's name?
You got spanked by a lady there, Missy.
Connie.
Miss Connie.
I don't know, but I figure we can change that last word into something liquor.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.